time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking the conversation of the Stranger Things about Christmas. And now, you know, we've reached that time of year. This is one of my favorites, being the Christmas season, and everybody just seems to maybe have a little bit of an extra pep in their step, seems a little jolly and cheerful. But you, Jeff, say you've got some Stranger Things about Christmas that maybe we may not know.
Yeah, I'm so kind of shy and reluctant about how in the world do I bring some of these things up. But I do want to say this first. It is so neat to see how positively people can be infected by a season. I mean, if you think about it, you can't deny everyone seems to have that little kick in their or pep in their step, right? There's just a little bit of a jovial, happy, more gracious, more apt to be generous environment that seems to permeate our society. And I want to ask you, what do you think that is? What causes that?
It's got to be the corporate buzz.
it's that special red drink that we soda we can't name, but you know that's what it is. It's
what does it for me is Black Friday shopping.
The Black Friday
that just kicks it off and gets it going.
Oh man, yeah, just I love the shopping. Absolutely, it's.
I think people do. My mom and my wife like to get out there and do a little shopping.
Spend some money.
Yeah.
It does feel good to spend money.
But I can't say that would be the reason for people's pep in their steps.
Yeah, why would it make people more generous? What is it that people seem to be just in a better predisposition?
Maybe Christ?
Can we say that?
Well, Christ Mass. So we could say Christmas. Maybe it's Christmas that gets everybody feeling that
Christ
way.
Mass. Yeah. Christ gathering, right? Because Mass means, I think, gathering, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I mean, the reality is it's really hard. It's as hard as corporate America tries to separate Christmas. What do they say? Happy Holidays was the big buzz 20 years ago, and they've almost successfully done that, where we don't say Merry Christmas. It's not Christmas break. It's fall break, right? I mean, they've kind of, if you think about it, they kind of erase things. And I don't know if you remember this whole argument years ago. Back when I was in high school, I remember it. You know, this controversy about Christmas and wanting to separate, not real strong arming it yet, but, you know, it was offensive to people who weren't Christian to call it Christmas because you're forcing your faith onto people.
Oh, but why are you celebrating what you don't otherwise believe in anyway?
Well, they want the celebration without the Jesus, right? Everybody wants to have fun. Everybody wants some gifts, but... But I don't need that, you know, religious jargon to have a good time. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, maybe it's because of that religious jargon that we get to have a good time.
Well, it got me thinking. I mean, if you do think about this, we are all looking up more than running on that proverbial hamster wheel. It seems like we're all kind of a little more retrospective about, you know, what is the meaning of life, looking at the relationships around us and the bigger things as opposed to the smaller things that we try and buy to make ourselves happy. We're focused on being gracious and kind and giving to others, not me, right?
Maybe it's that. It's that general focus on others, I think, is this season maybe brings that out in people of, okay, well, I'm not necessarily as concerned with
myself,
what it is that I need. Right. I worry about that all year. And now this season is for those closest to me that I love, and I want to make a positive impact on them.
And that's consistent, whether you're a Christian or an atheist, right? I mean, everyone, for the most part, participates on some level with this whole thing, and you can't escape it. It's just there. And I mean, Jesus' birth marked our calendar. I mean, you can't get away from it. Historically, whether you believe he was the Son of God or not, it's irrelevant. Historically, he did exist. It's a holiday that everyone celebrates to some degree. So yeah, I think that it's successfully permeated our society, and they haven't fully erased it yet, even though they call it Happy Holidays and Fall Break and what else? Some of the terminologies they use. Oh, Santa Claus, of course. We gotta get Saint Nick in there, right? So anything?
How about that? Did you see that movie where those? There was a huge controversy of those kids spelled out, "We love you, Satan," instead of Santa.
No.
Yeah, it was in, I think it was in that new Christmas film that just came out.
I guess I'm checked out in a way I didn't realize.
And they said, obviously, it was just a mistake and we corrected it and yada, yada.
It's a coincidence, right? Everything's a coincidence these days. So this is one of those things, the stranger things about Christmas. This is, remember the movie when it came out, The Matrix? I can't remember the date. I want to say it was around the 2000 year.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. But it was one of those revolutionary films that got everyone talking and thinking who enjoy that genre of film, that seemed to pull out this idea that maybe we're all asleep in a construct to some degree. There's a few of us who are awake to the reality, the true things that are actually happening while the vast majority are asleep. And Christmas is kind of like one of those things. So tell me, if you just real fast, and there's no right or wrong answer, I mean, what are some of the symbols of Christmas and what do they mean? Do you know? Like, that are traditions that, let's say, the Christians keep. So the Christmas tree, it's an evergreen. Evergreen was to symbolize eternal life.
Okay.
Have you ever heard that before?
I have not.
Yeah, so, okay. So there's all these ties. You know, for example, presents were to symbolize the presents that the wise men gave Jesus at Christmas.
At his birth. Okay, yeah. I have heard that one before.
Okay, so there's all these symbols that are part of, I forget the whole, what the ornaments are supposed to be on the trees, but there's all these Christianese symbols that we have for Christmas. But I think people would be shocked if they would get outside their present construct. This is hard. This is the hardest part. You've got to get outside your present construct of what you have experienced, come to love and to feel, and even want to pass on to your own children. Pull away from that and ask yourself the difficult question and actually go investigate. This is the hardest part. What is the origin of Christmas?
Mm.
Okay, so for example, was Jesus really born on December 25th?
Do we know that?
Well, we know this. They just kind of picked a date. We don't know. Hmm. The Bible never says. Think about where you've read in the Bible. It says, and on December 25th, Jesus was born.
Was born.
Yeah. In fact, we have record of things like, you know, who their parents were. We have that in the Bible. But this emphasis on dates, that we have this obsession with dates, like birthdays and anniversaries, mm-hmm. That wasn't part of their culture, so we really don't know when he was born.
Hmm. So then who chose the date?
So that was the Catholic Church, and that's a great question. And again, I would encourage everyone, as always, go and research. I know that we live in a time where they say that's bad to do that. Just accept whatever you're told. But this podcast is all about you having your own opinions based upon facts. So go and look it up.
So can you, like, I know there, you said the Catholic Church, and they have got the Vatican where they keep all of the, you know,
the secrets,
the top-notch information, the hierarchy of knowledge, per se. Are you able to, like, go and pass through that and experience it if you so choose? Or is that off limits to your average person?
The Vatican archives? Is that what you're asking, to go and look at the Vatican archives? Like, could you go sign into their library?
Yeah, no. And just look at, no. Like, nope. See what's in there.
Nope, uh-uh. That's for a special group, and even then, if I'm not mistaken, you have to be a certain age. No recording devices. I mean, there's all kinds of stipulations. Like, you can't talk about certain things, and yeah. And even then, you're probably walled off. I remember being given access to a locked part of a library. And it wasn't because it was secret. It was because the documents and the books there were so old that they were afraid people would accidentally destroy them.
Sure. I mean, that makes some good sense, I suppose.
So, I mean, you had to wear special gloves to open certain books and whatever, but it was really cool. Now, I would say some of those things that the Vatican has are probably like that. But we know there's other things there that are more clandestine. They're a little bit more...
missing
interesting
piece. Yeah. All right.
Moving along in this Stranger Things.
So the Catholic Church chose the date of December 25th.
Correct. And okay. The reason they chose this date, if you really boil it down, is because in their evangelistic efforts to reach pagan people, what they did is they would go and study a culture and they would peel off the veneer of the paganism. So for example, certain cultures would have festive holidays. And so rather than trying to take away those pagan holidays,
they would build in Christ around them.
Yes. Mm. Now, to do this, they couldn't dictate. So they would make it cool. something desirable, and they really wouldn't change very much. And I forget which culture this was. It might have been Rome. I can't remember which one. There's different cultures, so it depends on which one you research, but all these avenues have the same common thing. They would come in this one culture, for example, caroling that we love so much, that was done, you were in the nude, you were in the buff, running around singing in the streets. the festive food and all these things, like they would eat and drink and it was like a carnival environment. Like, I mean, wild carnival, like debauchery bad. And the church didn't change that part of it. All they did was put a Christian veneer on it. So you're still having the wild whatever party with Jesus attached to it.
So you're not feeling as bad about maybe what it is you're doing?
Well, it became more of a worshipful thing than just a
massive out of control party.
Right. And so what happened as time went on, once the culture accepted this new veneer overlay and it became the more predominant part, then they would reform it and make it a little bit more acceptable, more family friendly, and pull out some of the paganism that was tied to it. Like gingerbread. The gingerbread man was more about, they would kill people. Like there was one tradition where they would pick a victim and they would make him drink and eat and all these things. And then at the end of the thing, they would sacrifice him.
And that's where the gingerbread man came.
Well, no, that's not there. But the gingerbread man was funny. That they were actually biscuits made in like a human form. And then that was kind of creepy. So they changed it over to gingerbread men. It's like, it's all this stuff. It's like, it's crazy, but it's all tied to paganism. Like the Christmas tree, actually what it is, there were people who worshiped trees. That's really where it came from. There was a tree worship, and I forget the god that was associated, the small g, associated with it, and they just kind of took it over. Gave it a Christian meaning. So if you think about it, this is funny, Christians did to pagans what pagans did to us with the rainbow. They hijacked the rainbow and made it their symbol of whatever you want to call it. I don't want to name the group.
The alphabet.
And get banned because we're all being censored. Who can see that? but that truly, really and truly, what you're really seeing is pagans are trying to reclaim their holiday. St. Nick, this guy, he ended up replacing, a cult replaced their grandmother spirit that was like a deity that went around and filled little children's stockings with goodies. They replaced her. They called her grandmother or something like that. They replaced her with the spirit of St. Nick. And so he became like this small deity from a cult that worshiped him as their like little deity.
And that's where he came from.
Yeah. It's like, just go back and look at it. I'm telling you, you've got to separate what you've come to accept. Again, the Matrix thing, and stop and say, you know what? But okay, I know what it is for you today, but what are its origins? Christmas was tied to Saturn worship. It's historically fact. You can't get away from it. Just like Jesus, historical fact, was born, died on a cross. There were miracles. All these things happened. He was seen after he died, was resurrected. You explain it, fine. In the same way, these are facts about Christmas you can't get away from historically. But again, here's the hardest part about this. That's just one group. As the church went to evangelize and reach different cultures, each culture had its own pagan symbology, things they were doing that they overtook and re-veneered.
So basically, they took the once symbolism that was used for evil or no good and kind of flipped it in reverse and used it, or at least what they deemed to be a structural positive benefit to society over time.
They thought there was no way people would give up their good time. And they're probably right on that. So rather than oppose that, what's in our human nature to be deviant and have a good time and all those things, destructive. It's really destruction, right? We're very destructive in the things that we do. They were very patient and they slowly co-opted it.
I'm telling you, that is so much exactly what's happening in the other direction right now. It really is a slow co-opting of exactly what you just described. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll take, you Christians don't mind this, so we'll just change it into that a little bit. And then you guys are okay with this, so.
It's the slow creep. But regardless, here's the cool part about this. Regardless of the origins of Christmas, I don't have a conscientious objection to celebrating it, because for me and how it is today, at this present time, no denying, its central focus is Jesus. At the moment, that day may change. They may co-opt it and take the pagan holidays back. But at the time being, it is focused on Jesus. And as far as I can, I'm going to make sure it stays that way.
Like him being the reason of the season, per se, I think God being love does get us to, during this season, maybe to really focus in on just that love. And like we said, when it is, you know, you're maybe thinking about what you need all throughout the year, this season really seems to maybe focus our needs maybe in the backseat and the needs of others up front.
It's no illusion that us focusing on Christ brings out the best in all of us. It always will. That's who he is. Again, as the God of love, loving God, loving others. And as long as we can keep the focus, the reason for the season, Jesus, it always will bring out the best in us. Not even, hey, listen, and we don't have to wait for Christmas to make that a reality. We can live our lives that way.
Well, I think when you make a focus on him, you maybe tend to start to do things more like him versus more like yourself.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
get the focus off me and more on him and certainly on others.
Absolutely. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please share the word.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.